بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This juz gives the conclusion of Surah Al-An'am and goes after it into Surah Al-A'raf. It gives a report about a debate that raged between the Prophet and the Jews about some of the rules of food, because they did not stick to their exact revelation, but they added to it, and I think until today their primary book is the Talmud and not the Torah. And so it happened that they labeled so many foodstuffs as haram, 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 without any proof of it. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ challenges this, and the Quran invites them to give their proof and asks them, have you been witness when Allah made those things haram? This is history, but I think there is some relevance into it, because even in our present day, and even amongst the circle of Muslims, one can spot some individuals who have the inclination to add more items to the haram, making things more difficult to people. The surah says, haram is anything offered to none but Allah, or the flesh of the pig, or the fluid blood. And this is the haram. But to go on and narrow the area of the haram and add to the area of, narrow the area of the halal and add to the area of the haram is an abomination. And unfortunately, and I think the examples are plenty, you wouldn't need me to give any examples of Muslims who are fond of being so rigid as to make things haram, whereas they are not haram. And then the surah moves that a debate of halal food and haram food and this and that, as we do, like toothpaste and jello and things like that. And Allah calls attention to the real things that Muslims should focus at, and He gives a kind of 10 commandments and tells the Prophet, say, come here, believers, let me read to you what is halal and haram. And He starts with, of course, that you make no associates with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only by saying that Allah is God, but somebody else is also God, like happened in some sister religions, or Allah is God and the deity, but my boss tells me to do that, which is against the wish of God, then I do it. No. There is some shirk, which is called the concealed shirk. Shirk is not only to say Allah and this are gods, or Allah and that, but also to behave under such an influence other than Allah. The influence being a person, or a situation, or your desires, or your greeds, and remember that you are responsible for your own choice. You will not be able to slant it and hang it over the shoulders of someone on the Day of Judgment. And then وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that you be kind to the parents. And the haram here is not to be kind to the parents, because as explicitly explained in another surah of the Quran, it doesn't only say be kind to your parents, but it says that when they reach old age in your presence, in your life, لا تقل لهم أف, don't show that you are impatient with them, and don't rebuke them, and talk to them nicely and honorably. And this is second to Tawheed. The second to Tawheed, and by some Muslim youth who think they have completed everything. Prayers, fasting, zakat, beard, short clothing, etc. But at home, you see how they talk to their father or to their mother. And some of them tell their parents, you are kafirs. Whereas at the time of the Prophet, his wife says, my mother came from Mecca to Medina. Shall I be friendly with her, although she is still kafir? And the Prophet said, yes. So it is a parent's right, irrespective of even creed and religion, to be companioned in such a gracious and good way. And my children, the enthusiastic Muslim youth, should be very careful. They go and preach and teach and criticize others for minor things, etc. But in their own home, they shout to their father or mother and even tell their parents, do not approve of your religion, and to me you look kafirs, although they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. Do not kill your progeny, your offspring, out of poverty, thinking that I'm a person of limited means, and I already have two or three or four or six children, and my wife got pregnant, and please, Dr. Athout, give me the fatwa to go and abort this child. In older days, they used to kill the child straight away, as did to some people in Jahiliyyah. And the Islam prohibited straight away. But to kill your offspring, or unborn offspring, with the justification that you are a person of limited means, is a crime that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abominates. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Don't even come near abominations and major sins, whether they are obvious and overt, or even concealed and hidden. Overt, like we see people behaving, and we see the Gay Pride Month, and we see things happening in the street and in the movies, etc. But concealed, when you do it even behind the closed doors. And the Quran says, don't get near to it. It just doesn't stop at don't do them. But don't take the steps that eventually lead to them. And therefore you have to defend yourself against these abominations, not only by one line of defense, being there and then saying no, after having fallen under the temptation, etc., where only a few people can say no in such a situation. But don't take the steps that might lead you into it. And this entails whom you befriend, where you go, kind of television you watch, kind of thinking, kind of time you allot to be with Allah, remembering Allah and doing dhikr to Allah. All this, any step that brings you nearer to sin, you should avoid. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Don't kill unless in the legal way, إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. The legal recognized Sharia way, otherwise human life has its sanctity. And we should not kill except when the Sharia spells it out. You kill fighting during war with certain limitations. If the enemy tries to escape, if the enemy at the last second says La ilaha illallah, don't kill him. If the enemy is inclined to negotiate peace, even under these situations in a war, you should not kill. Of course, two very well known ways of killing nowadays are spilling human life at its beginning and terminating it at its end. In the beginning through abortion, and in the end through the movement of euthanasia, mercy killing. They say that when people are very aged or very ill or incurable, etc., then it would be the right and the doctor's duty to help them kill themselves. It is not so in Islam. It is not so in the Quran. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ حَتَّى يَبْلُغَ أَشُدَّهُ. If you are guardian to an orphan and managing the orphan's wealth, it might be too much and it might be tempting to you to take more than due to you. If the deceased father was your friend, you owed to him to look after his children like your children. Otherwise, the authorities might assign a certain amount of money that you take for that. Don't exceed it, and don't allow yourself to take what you do not deserve from the wealth of an orphan, because as the Prophet described this, if you eat it, it will be as though you are eating a piece of hellfire in your stomach. وَأَوْفُ الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ. When you are measuring, when you are weighing, that is during ordinary commercial activity, you have to be very just. There is a whole surah in the Quran called the Surah of Mutaffifin. Those who are not fair in measure and weighing when they are buying and selling. The spontaneous greed of a person is to take more when taking and give less when giving. And the Quran warns us never to do this. وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى. If you are to give a witness or a testimony or an opinion, you have to be fair and just. Don't be swayed because one of the two parties is your friend or your relative. You have to be really just and fair. وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا. If you make a pledge before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should be it. And I know of some merchants who sold big lots of merchandise on the telephone. And an hour later, the price doubles and nothing is written, nothing is signed. I say, this is my word, I gave my word, I cannot change it. And this is the behavior of a mu'min, and difficulties may arise because, unfortunately, life has become so materialistic that values are receding before materialistic gains. But to a mu'min, you give your word, Allah is the witness, and you should never change your word after that. And then the call to unity. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا. And this is my way, my sirat, straight. And we said the straight line is the shortest line between two points. So there cannot be more than one straight line. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to follow His path and never try the other paths because they would lead us astray. Other things in this part, سيقول الذين أشركوا, the mushriks will say, if Allah wanted to guide us, He would have guided us. And therefore, shifting the responsibility from your shoulders and putting it on Allah. And as a matter of fact, as human beings, we should be informed enough that Allah willed that we be created with an autonomy, with an own will power, with the knowledge, the guidance He set and sent, and then our free choice. Therefore, we are responsible. And accountability is individual, and I would like to advise my young sons, if any here amongst you, that the focus and the concept of somebody coming and telling you, give me the bay'ah, pledge, I hear and I obey, he will not be responsible for you on the Day of Judgment. Or the Sheikh said so, he will not be responsible for you. If you said, I did that because the Sheikh said, it will not be accepted from you. And the Quran says, لا تزروا وزرة وزر أخرى. No one will carry the burden of another. Then we'll move to Surah Al-A'raf. And the main point in this surah is a special scene that I can almost imagine sitting here. Of course, what goes on in the hereafter is something no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, and no imagination could ever capture. But the description is so graphic that one, it says so. There are two places. One is hellfire, with the wrong doors suffering in it. And one is the Jannah, with the Mu'mins enjoying it. But between both is a group of people who are not in hell and not in Jannah. They still stand on some height, pending. It hasn't been decided yet to push them into hellfire or to lead them to the Jannah. And they witness a conversation. The people in heaven, the Jannah, shout to the people in hell, we have found what Allah promised us true. Did you find what Allah promised you true or not? Allah promises the truth, but when they had the chance, they didn't obey it. And then the people in hell would shout to the people in the Jannah, please give us a drink of that water given you, or the good things Allah blessed on you. But they say, we are sorry, Allah made this prohibited for the kafirs. And this is the two contrasts exchanging talks. What about the people who are still pending? Ashab al-A'raf, those standing on the height, waiting to see. When they look towards the Jannah and see the people there in its bliss, they say, Salamun alaykum, peace be with you. And when they look the other way and see the people in hell, they say, Oh Allah, don't place us with those people who are unjust. This is a scene which I would like to draw your attention to, because there is a very large probability that many of us here in this world will be amongst those people on the A'raf, waiting the decision, waiting the verdict, like people before a court, and the verdict has not been read yet. It is agony. It is extreme fear on one way, and extreme wish and desire. لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ They haven't entered it, but they aspire and hope. And my friends, probably the majority of us would be in that place. And then, making the decision, considerations will be sought out. You might be asked, what do you want? And you say, forgiveness. And you will be told, let us see your bank account of forgiveness. Do you have stored the forgiveness or not? Did you forgive people in your life or not? If you have a deposit, well, we can take from it and give you, and in you go. If you don't have, the case might be difficult. And it may be for your sins, your good deeds will be neutralized one by one. For this sin, that charity would go, neutralize it. And for the other sin, another reward will go, etc., until your rewards are finished. And if you hurt somebody or were unfair or unjust, not only will finish your rewards, but those whom you hurt in this world, Allah will say, take from their sins and add to His. Take from their sins and add to His. So it seems quite likely that we can influence the verdict on that day. And one of the things, very encouraged by the ayah here, is to try to be a forgiver and to try to make your heart pure and clean towards other people. And the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those in heaven whom you are gracious to, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ, that is, you do something bad to me, and instead of doing, I'll let him see, I'll never forget it to him, it's, you do exactly the opposite. You have an enemy, you say, Allah, guide him to the truth. Even if you force your tongue to make that dua, force yourself. 10 years ago, a person accused me of murder on no basis. But he thought I was dead, and so he thought he would publish a good story. But I answered in the same newspaper. Anyhow, At that time, my maxima was Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakeel. A little later on, Allahumma hadihi. Please Allah, show him the truth and guide him to the truth. And at the beginning, it was against my wish. I didn't have much appetite to pray for him. But I forced myself to pray for him. And now it comes easy every day, asking Allah to pray for him. Because Allah said, وَلْيَعْفُوا, let them forgive, وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, let them forgo, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you want that Allah forgives you? And anyone who wants Allah to forgive him, better forgive the others now while we can. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.